60 Books, presented by Store Consulting and Coaching. A submarine captain gives an order. Ahead two-thirds. The officer beside him repeats it. Ahead two-thirds. And the helmsman, a young sailor at the controls, does not move. After a moment he says, "Sir, there is no two-thirds on this ship." Today, Turn the Ship Around by L. David Markey. In two sentences, the traditional model where one person thinks and everyone else complies wastes almost all the brains on board, so replace it with a system where authority moves to wherever the information already is. You do that by changing how people speak, not by changing how they feel. From the Reading Room, this is 60 Books. I'm Miles. 60 of the best management books of the last 100 years, one per episode, read for leaders and teams who think differently, and for work where AI is now part of the job. Nora finished the story on the bridge.
So the captain turns to the officer of the deck, the man who repeated his order, and asks him a question. Did you know there was no two-thirds setting on the ship?
And?
The officer says yes, he knew.
He knew.
And the captain asks the obvious next question. Then why did you order it? And the answer is the reason this book exists. The officer says, because you told me to.
A nuclear submarine.
A nuclear-powered attack submarine, 130 crew, with a captain who had been aboard about 2 weeks, who had just discovered that his officers would relay an order they knew to be impossible, because it came from him.
Set the scene properly, because the captain's situation matters.
This is David Markey, 1999. He had spent a full year preparing to command a submarine called the Olympia. He knew that boat. He had memorized its systems, its people, its quirks. And then, with a few weeks' notice, the Navy reassigned him to the USS Santa Fe.
Which is a different class of boat.
Different reactor plant, different controls, different everything, and none of his year of preparation transferred. And the Santa Fe was, by the Navy's own measures, the worst-performing submarine in the fleet. Worst morale, worst retention, worst evaluations.
So the expert arrives without his expertise.
Which turns out to be the luckiest thing that could have happened, because the usual model requires the captain to be the one who knows. He could not be, and in that gap, he made a decision that sounds absurd for a naval officer. He resolved to stop giving orders.
I want to sit on that for a second. A submarine captain decides to stop giving orders.
Not entirely. He kept the legal authority and the responsibility. What he stopped doing was supplying the answers.
Tell me about him.
L. David Markey, Naval Academy, class of 1981, graduated at the top of it. Then, the nuclear submarine track, which is one of the most selective and technically demanding pipelines in the American military. He commanded the Santa Fe from 1999 to 2001, taught at the Naval Academy, and retired as a captain.
And the results on that boat?
This is the part that made the book. The Santa Fe went from the bottom of the fleet to the top on the Navy's own inspections. Retention went from among the worst to among the best. And the number that gets quoted most, an unusually large share of his officers went on to their own commands, which is the Navy's real measure of whether a leader built anything durable.
The book came later.
Turn the Ship Around came out in 2012, more than a decade after the events. He followed it with Leadership is Language in 2020, which we will cover later in this series, and which sharpens the argument considerably.
So the model, what is he actually replacing?
He calls the old one leader-follower. One person decides, everyone else executes. And his objection is not moral, it is arithmetic. On a submarine, you have 130 trained people, and the leader-follower structure uses the judgment of one of them. The rest are hands.
And his replacement?
Leader-leader. The premise is that people already have the capacity to think and decide, and the organization is what suppresses it. So his one-line summary is this. Do not move information to authority. Move authority to the information.
Say that in a practical way.
The traditional way to run a decision is to gather what is known and carry it up to the person allowed to decide. That is slow, and things get lost on the way up. The alternative is to push the right to decide down to the person who already has the facts in front of them.
Now, this is a show about neurodivergent leaders and teams, so let me ask the uncomfortable version. Does that help or hurt someone who is not confident about speaking up?
It depends entirely on the mechanism, and this is why the book is better than the slogan. He does not tell people to be more empowered. he changes the words they are required to say.
The famous one.
I intend to. Instead of asking permission, an officer states an intention. I intend to submerge the ship. I intend to change course. And the captain's job shrinks to one syllable, very well.
Why does that matter so much?
Because in the old phrasing, request permission to submerge, the subordinate has done no thinking. He has passed a decision upward. In the new phrasing, he has to have already worked out the plan, the timing, and the safety case, because the sentence commits him to it.
And the neurodivergent read.
This is the cleanest example in the whole series of a script replacing a social skill. There is no hint reading involved. You do not have to sense whether the captain is in a receptive mood, choose the right deferential register, or intuit how much detail he wants. You say four words and then your plan.
Which connects backward.
To episode 4, directly. Gladwell's plane crash chapter was about mitigated speech, junior officers softening warnings until the captain missed them. Aviation solved it with explicit protocol language. Marquet solved the same problem in a submarine with a different explicit phrase. Two industries where the cost of hint reading is measured in lives, and both arrived at scripted directness.
And the office version is a performance review that calls someone blunt.
Which is the joke that keeps writing itself. The Navy standardized directness and called it a safety practice. Offices punish it and call it a communication problem.
He has three pillars, go.
Control, competence, and clarity. And the order matters because his warning is that control given without the other two is negligence, not empowerment.
Start with control.
Control is pushing decision authority downward, and he is specific that it has to be done in deliberate increments, not as a gesture. He rewrote the ship's standing orders so that decisions previously reserved for the captain moved to department heads, then to chiefs. And the crucial detail is that he wrote down which decisions moved. It was a document, not a vibe.
And the neurodivergent version of that.
Written, explicit scope of authority is an accommodation that nobody has to ask for. A great deal of workplace anxiety and a great deal of executive function load goes into working out whether you are allowed to do the thing. If the boundary is documented, that load disappears for everyone and disproportionately for the people who cannot read it off the room.
Competence.
His argument is that you cannot delegate a decision to someone who lacks the technical grounding to make it, so control has to be matched by deliberate competence building. On the Santa Fe, that meant constant, small, in-place training rather than occasional big events.
And there is a specific practice here I want you to explain, because I think it is the most interesting thing in the book for our purposes.
Deliberate action. It came out of a mistake. A sailor flipped a wrong switch, and the usual response would be more procedures and more supervision. Instead, Marquet had the crew adopt a rule. Before you touch anything consequential, you pause, you gesture at the control, and you say aloud what you are about to do and what you expect to happen.
Out loud in front of people.
Out loud every time by everyone, including the captain. It looks strange from outside, and the error rate dropped.
Now connected.
In Barclay's 1997 theory of ADHD, one of the executive functions he identifies is the internalization of speech. The idea is that as we develop, self-directed talk goes silent and becomes the inner voice that guides action, and that this internalization is less reliable in ADHD. So here is a submarine crew, mostly not neurodivergent, discovering that under pressure their internal speech was not enough either, and that saying it out loud fixed it.
So the accommodation was better for everyone.
The technique that a person with ADHD might be quietly embarrassed to need, narrating the step before doing it, is standard operating procedure on a nuclear submarine. And they did not adopt it out of kindness. They adopted it because it worked.
There is a second speaking practice here as well.
Thinking out loud, and it runs the other direction. Deliberate action is what the crew does before acting. Thinking out loud is what the captain does. Marquet made a habit of narrating his own reasoning, including his uncertainty. I am concerned about the water depth here. I am not sure what that contact is doing.
Why does a captain saying he is unsure help anybody?
Two reasons. It hands the crew the context they would otherwise have to infer, and it makes uncertainty an ordinary thing to say out loud rather than an admission of weakness.
And for our audience?
Enormous in both directions. A neurodivergent employee working under a leader who narrates is spared the guessing game about what the boss actually wants, which is otherwise a full-time cognitive job. And a neurodivergent leader who thinks out loud gets a licensed outlet for something many of us do anyway. The trap, if you are the leader, is the difference between narrating your reasoning and simply talking. Thinking out loud is not a monologue. It is context, offered briefly, on purpose.
And there is a third habit, which is about restraint.
Resisting the urge to provide solutions. Marquet is blunt that the hardest part for him was silence, because he was the most technically capable person in most rooms, and the answer was usually right there. But every time a leader supplies the answer, the room learns to wait for it.
That one is going to sting for some listeners.
It should, if you have deep expertise and a fast pattern-matching mind, and many neurodivergent professionals do, the pull toward finishing someone else's sentence is strong. Marquet's fix is mechanical rather than emotional. He counted to 12 before speaking. Not because 12 is magic, but because a rule you can follow beats an intention you have to feel.
Clarity.
The third pillar, and the one he says leaders skip. As control moves down, everyone needs to understand what the organization is actually for, or you get 130 people making confident decisions in different directions. So clarity is the shared picture of purpose and standards.
Any mechanism, or is this the soft one?
There are mechanisms, specifying goals rather than methods, building trust deliberately, and my favorite, because it is so easy to steal, he replaced briefings with certification.
Explain the difference.
A briefing is somebody reading the plan to a room. It is passive, and everyone can nod through it. Certification flips it. Before the operation, the team is questioned, and if they cannot answer, the operation does not proceed. So attention becomes structural rather than a matter of willpower.
There is one more piece of clarity I want, because it reframes what a mistake is.
Achieve excellence, do not just avoid errors. The Navy, like most high-consequence organizations, had built a culture around not being the one who caused a problem. And Marquet's argument is that error avoidance produces a specific set of behaviors. You do the minimum. You do not volunteer. You certainly do not experiment, because everything above the minimum is exposure.
Say the neurodivergent version.
A great deal of what gets called masking is error avoidance running as a full-time background process. Watch how others behave, copy it precisely, never be the one who stands out, and spend an enormous share of your capacity on not being wrong. There is a research literature linking that sustained performance to exhaustion and burnout in autistic adults. An organization built on avoiding errors is asking for that behavior from everyone and getting the most of it from the people who are already primed for it.
And the alternative?
Naming what excellence looks like, so people have something to move toward rather than only something to stay away from. Which sounds like a poster until you notice that it changes what gets measured.
Which is a real accommodation, dressed as an operational practice.
Sitting through a 40-minute verbal briefing and retaining it is a working memory task, and it is a task some very capable people will simply fail while looking attentive. Certification measures whether the knowledge is there instead of whether the listening looked right. That is the same distinction we drew from Drucker in episode 3. Measure contribution, not the performance of engagement.
What has not held up?
Start with what it is. This is one man's account of one ship, written over a decade after the fact, by the person whose leadership the book is praising. There is no control group. There is no comparison submarine that kept the old model. The Navy does not run randomized trials on command philosophy.
And the outcomes are real.
The outcomes are real and independently recorded, which is more than most business books can say. But the attribution is not testable. The Santa Fe also got a new captain, new attention from above, a crew that knew it was being watched, and a leader who was unusually invested. Any of those could carry weight.
The selection problem.
This is the sharpest critique, and it is about transfer. A nuclear submarine crew is one of the most heavily screened and trained populations on Earth. Every person there survived a brutal selection pipeline and shares an enormous body of standardized technical knowledge. Marquet's own model says control requires competence. In an organization with high turnover, uneven training, and no shared technical baseline, the same moves could produce chaos, and he would agree.
And the language claims specifically.
Intent-based leadership has not, to my knowledge, been tested experimentally as a distinct intervention. It sits alongside a real research literature on psychological safety, which has been studied properly, but it is not the same thing and should not borrow that evidence. Notably, Marquet himself seems to have felt the framework was incomplete, because leadership is language goes back and rebuilds the argument around specific conversational moves.
So the tier.
A single, well-documented case study with unusually good outcome data and no way to isolate the cause. Practitioner literature at its best, which still means it is a hypothesis you are testing in your own organization rather than a finding you are applying.
The recap in this shows frame. Turn the ship around says push authority to where the information already is, and do it by changing the words people say rather than by exhorting them to step up. For a neurodivergent leader, or one leading neurodivergent people, almost every mechanism in this book is an accommodation that was adopted for operational reasons and never labeled as one. A scripted phrase that removes hint reading. A written boundary of authority that ends the guessing, narrating the step before you take it, and checking understanding by asking rather than by watching whether someone looked attentive. And AI.
The book's central verb is deciding, and that is exactly where these tools are most useful and most dangerous.
Useful first.
I intend to is a demanding sentence because it requires you to arrive with the reasoning already done. Drafting that with a model, laying out the plan, the risks, the alternative you rejected, turns a blank page into an edit, which is where the wall usually is. On competence, a model is an unlimited patient tutor for the technical grounding that has to exist before authority can move, and it never sighs when you ask the same question a third time. And on clarity, the tedious work of writing down which decisions belong to whom, the thing Marquet insists must be a document, is exactly the sort of drafting nobody ever finds time for.
And the danger.
Two of them. The first is that a model will happily hand you the answer, which puts you straight back into leader-follower with a machine as the leader. If your team's judgment atrophies because the tool decides, you have rebuilt the exact structure this book exists to dismantle, and the atrophy will be invisible until something the model has never seen goes wrong.
And the second.
Deliberate action was about slowing down at the consequential moment and saying out loud what you expect to happen. Speed is what these tools are sold on. The discipline worth keeping is that the faster the drafting gets, the more the pause before acting matters.
The usual caution, too.
The usual caution. Evidence that AI support improves outcomes for neurodivergent workers is early and mostly practitioner reports, so treat it as promising practice, not established fact.
Nora, thank you.
Anytime, thanks, Miles.
That has turned the ship around. Next time on 60 Books, Radical Candor by Kim Scott and the difference between caring personally and being nice, which are not the same thing and are frequently confused. I'm Miles. See you then.